goosebumps, cashing a slip makes you grin, and above all, you love making your bookie cry? Then you're in the right place. The number one spot for premier betting advice and wild opinions, shared with a fan base like no other. Welcome home. This is the Punch List MMA Podcast.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? It's the number one Drew Dober podcast in all of the land.
I mean, the intro still gets me hyped.
Dude, it is a hyped intro.
I'm stoked.
I appreciate you being here, especially on the curtails, whatever it is, of a sensational knockout win of the gladiator, Ricky Glenn, this past Saturday, UFC Vegas 80. Congratulations on a big dub, bro.
Thank you. It was... Man, I'm gonna be honest, is what I was expecting. And if I did any less, I'd be disappointed.
Yeah.
So like we needed that win after a loss, but it's not so much the outcome that I'm excited about. It was the process that I'm excited about. Because that process is gonna bleed into my next fight. And man, we got some big things coming.
Okay. I see. I want to talk about that. And you always do such a good job of segueing me into stuff, but then I like lose track of where I want, like where I thought we were going, because then you mentioned that. All right. So let's talk about this now that you've brought it up. That's always the question, right? As soon as you win a fight, everybody's like, how soon do you want to fight again? All that kind of stuff. And I know with you, the answer is as soon as possible. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I ask every time and you never give me anything. This is the beauty of this. I can't tell you how many DMs, text messages, and phone calls I get going, when's Drew fighting next? Who's Drew fighting next? And nobody believes me that I never know. Can you confirm that I never know?
You never know. I mean, you know pretty much what I know, and that's nothing.
Yeah. You like sometimes you'll tell me like the day it gets announced for everybody else, so that way we can get with James and get you a graphic made to post on Instagram. That's about it, right? Like I literally have maybe not even a 6 hour lead time, if that. Yes.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you have like literally an hour ahead of than what I get.
Okay.
I mean, it's so funny. Like you say names, you blow smoke, you create hype, you talk trash, all this stuff. And the UFC's like, fight that guy. And you're like, why did I do all this work if like this is the dude you're offering? You know, like it's, man, I'm so sick and tired of saying other people's names because it's spagazzi. Like it doesn't mean anything.
Oh, I like that. Okay, I'm going to circle back to that because that's another question I wanted to ask you, because we got Bobby Green headliner, but you just knocked Bobby Green out. Anyway, we'll circle back to that. Fighting soon. I'm going to be in Vegas for UFC 296 in December.
Now, I've already called it. I've already called John Shelby. Okay. I already said I want to be on that card. Find me somebody. Okay. We're training for it.
Okay.
And so, yeah, I told him December 2nd or December 16th. Ideally, December 16th.
Yeah.
But like I said, but trying to get me in the cage isn't the hard part. It's finding the other dude. Like that's the hard part. And is a guy in the top 15 going to step up? Are we going to fight another rising star? I have no idea ever. And the UFC just let me know.
Well, I would prefer, so here's the thing. So if you fight on December 2nd, I still need you to come back out to Vegas for the 16th. So we can have like a year end party. I mean,
we can indulge in like burgers and wine and food if that's the case.
Okay. All right. So like it's important to me that like, just if you're in Vegas on the 16th, we'll just, you know, somehow we link up. That's kind of the thing.
I will be.
Okay. All right, cool.
I will be in Vegas on the 16th. What I'm doing there is going to be, that's up for discussion.
Bro, there still might be a fight on the 16th. You never know. You know what I mean? I mean, I have a face that just seems challenging to people. And then your chin, dude, you never know what kind of trouble we may or may not get into, but although we are two dads, we should probably lay low.
Yeah. And I also don't want to end up in like a Nate Diaz like street fight video. Like,
but like, oh man, that'd just be great. Just like a YouTube video, you sleeping some dude. Meanwhile, I'm getting choked to death behind you, like beard blowing out and everything else. Look at that guy.
We would go viral, but I don't think it would pay enough for the, the bills and the fines.
Yeah, you're right. Not to mention all the trouble we'd get in with the wives. I imagine I'd get in big time trouble if we went to Vegas and got
a fight. I wouldn't be allowed in the house.
Yeah. See? So, all right. Well, I mentioned the dad thing. Everybody's been beating the drum with you for the dad thing, but I want to take a different approach. Okay. You and I, last time you and I spoke, this was pre baby Dober showing up. Right. And you had all these preconceived notions and all these ideals about what being a dad was going to be like and what you thought and what to expect and everything else. And I just want to know, are you willing to admit to everybody that you were wrong about most of that?
Brutally wrong. Just way off.
Bro, is it not? You can't describe it. And two, you're never ready, right? Like, yeah. You think you are, but you're never ready.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And the funniest thing is, like, I was offered a fight mm-hmm. August 5th after, like, my baby was born, right? Yeah. So this is 1 week before the due date. Right. And I'm, like, debating if I could get, a fight in. Mm-hmm. And my coaches pretty much had to tell me, like, Drew, that's a hard no. Yeah. That's a no.
Yeah.
You don't know what you're getting yourself into. Right. That's a no. And I went, all right, I'll tell them that, like, you know, with my baby, I won't be able to take this fight. Thank God.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't think about fighting for 6 weeks.
Yeah. It's nuts, man. It's nuts. It's.
Yeah. And I got an easy baby. So I can only imagine that, you know,
yeah.
how hard it could be.
Yeah. That's a blessing. All three of mine were very easy babies. My son had a small bout like at 9 months where he just decided he didn't want to sleep unless mom was in the house. And my mom or my wife, she's a nurse. She was working night shift at the time. So she would go to work and it was just me and him, and he'd fuss in the middle of the night. Every time I go in there, he'd be like, "You're not mom. I'm not going back to sleep." And I'm like, "Damn it, man." Like, it was, I remember calling her like in the middle of the night, sleep deprived, being like, "You got to come home. I can't get this kid to go to sleep. He won't stop crying."
Well, I gotta start setting a precedence. Like, yeah. I gotta walk into that room and at least show face when she cries.
Yeah.
She's like, "I'm also here too."
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so she's getting to the point now, age wise, where you're coming up on the thing where she's going to be like really responsive to everything. So like mm-hmm. the new fun challenge is coming, where she wakes up in the middle of the night or from a nap and you try to get her to lay back down. And the moment she sees you, she goes, "Oh, yeah, it's dad," or "It's mom." And then you're like, no, you got to go back down and go to sleep. but they're so excited to like see you and be awake.
Yeah. We're already on that.
Oh, you're already there?
Like, she's so stoked when she wakes up from naps, like, "All right, people." Yeah. But now because she's starting to develop the personality, right? So fun, right? Just playing with the toys and goofing around. You can see that personality. But she's also got the negative side of that personality where it's like she's playing games. Mm. I'm like, "Oh, you're just bored and you want me to like put something in your face," type of thing. And I'm like, so it's been fun.
Yeah. Like this age that they're at now. Dude, every single day is a new thing. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I don't know if you remember, but I was telling you when you're talking about, "I want to do a fight camp, I want to do this out and the other." I was like, "Man, just slow down a little bit. Enjoy it." Because at this stage, every day is something new. Like, they're literally tomorrow, she will not be the same as she was today. So mm-hmm. it's so mm-hmm. great when I like that.
Man. Here's another day. Like, I was like just laying her on her stomach, doing some tummy time, mm-hmm. look away, look back, and she's on her back. I'm like, "You just rolled over and I missed it." What? How? Like, no. Yeah, dude, all eyes on deck. Just make sure you see these things.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So let me ask you the quintessential question. Obviously, you viewed it as a great motivator going into the cage, right? Like that was the big time. Did that become the new motivator? Obviously, we're chasing greatness. Obviously, we want to win a championship belt, but does the idea of legacy change now that she's in the picture?
Yeah, I'm going to be honest with you. We talked about, you know, the unborn child fighting and my wife was pregnant and motivation and stuff like that. When she came out, it wasn't motivation. Mm. I was wrong. Mm-hmm. What it was humbling.
Yeah.
What it was is what I'm doing in the cage doesn't matter. Oh, like, you know, it's like me being a fighter, the greatest in the world champion. It's my dream. not anyone else's. My wife don't care. My daughter doesn't care. And then even it's not even going to matter 10 years down the road.
Yeah.
Right. And so I'm like, holy cow, I'm doing this for me. I'm stepping in the octagon. I'm fighting. I'm winning. I'm not doing it for anyone else.
Right.
And so it was like that humbling feeling of like, no, this is mine. So what am I going to do with it?
Yeah.
And it was just, that was probably more empowering than the motivation that I thought I was going to get. Because then I realized who I'm actually fighting for and who's the only person that's going to be disappointed. And that's me. Right. And am I going to be able to swallow this decision or not? And so then it just comes down to, I'm not doing it for my wife. I'm not doing it for my daughter. I'm not doing it for the fans. I'm not doing it for you. I'm not doing it for my neighbors.
Right.
I'm getting off that stool, entering a third round with a monster because that's what I want to do. Mm. Right. And you can't take that away from me.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh, I like that. I like that. Do you feel like, we're in the trust tree. So I'm going to put you in the trust tree here. Okay. Well, not that you've ever been out of it, but I'm putting you in the trust tree. I typically don't bet on fighters after they have a kid, their first kid, because I personally, again, just being a degenerate gambler, I feel like I know how it changed me as a person and it made me like a little bit softer. You know what I mean? Like I didn't get teary eyed watching commercials for the Olympics prior to having a kid, but now, you know what I mean? I mean, Finding Nemo can catch me on the right day. You know what I mean? And things get soft. And you see like a lot of, you know, and I respect everybody that steps in the cage, but a lot of guys, Cowboy being one of them who you've mentioned several times over the last week, when they had a kid, like pre-kid, after kid, things really changed. Cub Swanson, 7 in a row, featherweight division, had a kid, had 3 kids, and then went on a huge skid. It happens. Again, all that to say, we're in the trust tree. I did not bet on you this weekend at all. I kept my money out of the equation altogether because I was worried that I jinxed you against Matt Frivola because I'm superstitious. And then two, I was like, he just had a kid. I have to stay away from this.
Which is completely understandable.
Okay.
Now I'm just going to rebuttal and be like, well, that is why I'm so like, it's just an example of me being mentally unstable. Because before the kid, I mean, I'm getting choked up at the end of Con Air.
Right.
Like, I don't even have a kid. And I'm like, oh, my God. And so that's just who I am. Right. And so then I'm not a badass. I'm sorry. I'm to admit this to all my fans out there. I'm not a badass. Yeah. I'm just mentally unstable. And I have so much fun giving other people concussions.
Right.
So we don't need to be hard. I'm coming into playtime. And Sonia has taught me the importance of playtime.
Yeah.
So that's why I got better.
Oh man, I love it too. And I think it's key. And I think it's probably testimony because I know you, much like myself, you like to work on you a lot, especially the mental aspect of things. So I think being able to arrive at a realization like that comes from being in a healthy place mentally. I know you're kind of like a water to a duck kind of thing when it comes to setbacks. You know, after the Frivola thing, you know, when I talked to you that day, you were all hype, right? And you're like, I might just go take a nap. I might, you know, I'm just going to chill, you know, whatever. And then obviously the loss. And then afterwards, you know, has the mentality changed? Did the mentality change, you know, pre-fight, during fight, post-fight? Like how quickly have you made these adjustments, or were any adjustments made at all?
So what I've been telling people is after that fight, we got back in the locker room. My coaches obviously were like a little silent. They were kind of just, they didn't know what to say to me.
Yeah.
And the first thing that came out of my mouth after a 30, 45 minute silence was, I didn't get caught. And my coach was like, what? I'm like, I didn't get caught. Something happened. Yeah. I gave that to him.
Yeah.
Right. Like, we're not dismissing it. Yeah. Like, something happened. Right. Let's figure it out.
Right.
So I went back and I watched that fight. And then I wrote on my Twitter, I was like, all right, I got hit with a Superman punch, made a poor decision, this and this and this. Then I went back and watched the Bobby Green fight. It's like, okay. Previous fights, Terrence McKinney. And then I went back and watched my very first knockout in the UFC. I watched my fight trying to get into the UFC. I watched a couple of regional fights that I had, and I went, I'd left a little bit behind. So what happened was I started believing what Twitter was saying.
Right.
I started believing into my own hype. I brought a left hand and a chin in that fight, but that's all I wanted to use was a left hand and a chin. Bobby Green was piecing me up, and I found the left hand, right? But that's not what started the knockout record, right? That's not what I should have brought to my Matt Frivola fight. What it was is, what was old Drew Dober doing to set up his hands? Before I even proved to anyone that I got heavy hands, I was doing something. And it was setups, it was motion, it was mixed martial arts. Shot, you know, like I tried to take Josh Berkman down before I even knocked him out. Yep. You know, and so it was, I literally left all the setups back in the locker room, and I just went out and tried to fight for Bola with a chin and a left hand.
Right.
And it failed. So what we did was we brought back old Drew Dober.
Yeah.
We brought back that Drew Dober trying to make a point, trying to prove to himself that he can hang, that he's, you know, had it within him. So we brought back the motion. We brought back the jujitsu. We brought back the wrestling. We worked on everything other than boxing.
Bro, you threw leg kicks. Those are the first leg kicks I've seen you throw in like four fights. And I'm just not talking shit like that. You threw leg kicks. I was like, bro, put them big legs to work, man. Kick them again. Kick them again.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We brought back the setups.
Yeah.
So the motion, the setups, I didn't shoot a takedown. But I mean, it even goes back to that wild, stupid hair that I had in that fight with Ricky. We brought back my poor haircuts.
Bro, you switched it up. I think you got like a Johnny Bravo looking thing going on right now.
What's right.
Yeah.
It's stupid. But we just wanted to bring back the Drew Dober that was trying to make a point, trying to prove to everyone. Like, we're fighting in an Apex against Ricky Glenn. Man, it felt like I was still like in the LFA regional circuit thing.
Sure.
Like, I'm here to make a point.
Right.
To prove to everyone that like I can hang. So we just brought back what we were very successful with in the beginning. So my term was dance with the woman that brought you.
Mm.
Like, this is what got me to the knockout streak. Mm. Why did I leave it behind?
Yeah.
So now I know without a doubt, every fight moving forward, we're bringing in everything else. Full toolbox.
Mm. I like that. I like that. Dance with a woman that brought you. I like that. That's good. I was like, you steal that from an old guy at a mechanic shop or something? That's good.
Probably. I was probably talking to some dude at a bus stop and told me that.
Say, I like that. I like that a lot. All right. Well, let's talk about Bobby Green for a second. And this is not me soundbite hunting. Okay. But you've said his name a couple times, so I'm just going to say it. All right. So does that, when you talk about fighting in the Apex, fighting on the prelims, feeling like regional, feeling LFA, feeling hungry, does seeing a name like Bobby on the marquee after you just knocked him out, does that kind of rub you the wrong way a little bit?
Absolutely not.
No.
No, because it proves my point that it's not what you do once, it's what you do often. It's not about you getting knocked out and now you're off the radar.
It's
showcasing the fact that you can get knocked out and ignore it and still move on. Matt Serra knocked out George St. Pierre. Adrian L. Martin knocked out Islam Makhachev. Where are they? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
One knockout loss doesn't define your legacy.
Sure.
Bobby Green on the main event. Exactly. And I love that. And I love that for him.
Okay. Did you watch his post-fight press conference?
No, I missed it. What did he say?
Oh, he said that you don't understand how to fight.
I don't understand how to fight?
Yeah, because so they asked him what happened with him knocking out Grant. And he said that I'm going to paraphrase Bobby Green. This is not a direct quote. But his response was he goes, well, you notice stuff like with him and stuff like with Dober, that these guys, they don't understand fighting. They don't know how to fight. So they freeze up. They tense up. You can see them bounce in when they're coming for a combo. So then I just time the combo coming in. And I thought, motherfucker, he knocked you out. What are you talking about? But that was just me yelling at the TV late. You know what I mean? But like, I'm just...
His credit, though, I didn't understand his fighting.
Right. He did hit you a lot, but you still knocked him out.
I couldn't figure out in the first round. But what we talked about before, I mean, I only brought in a hammer to the fight. I brought a left hand and a chin. Sure. Right. So yeah. I showed my chin in the first, showed my left hand in the second, and that was the fight. Now the rematch, ooh, we're bringing way more tools. So right. Bobby might be in trouble, but right. I mean, but I don't want to, I want to take anything away from him. I love Bobby. He deserves this. So I'm going to let him enjoy that, like the ranking, the win and all that stuff, but we will surpass.
Yeah. I hate even asking about stuff like this because it sounds like I'm just trying to stir the pot and I'm not, but I also just like, if somebody mentions like my name, I want to know what was said. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I know you don't care, man. You're stoic like that. That's an admirable trait. I appreciate that. So we were talking before we hit go, and you said that you had a bit of a philosophical answer to the questions of what it means now being a dad, being a fighter, and how you feel about these things, and then, you know, what's next. So is that enough of a setup to get you back in that frame of mind to where we were?
I think so. I think we touched on a little bit with our previous questions, but yeah, really, really where I'm at is I'm humbled.
Yeah.
And I'm humbled to where I remember when we were trying to make this a dream,
right,
and what we were doing to make that a dream. And humbled by the fact that realization that this is just my dream and my dream alone.
Yeah.
And everything that I want to get accomplished, I'm doing it for myself.
Right.
And so the only person I'm going to disappoint is me. So can I swallow this, or am I going to get off that stool and make it happen?
Right.
You know, and yeah. It's like you can fail for other people, but you like, I can't fail for myself. Right. Like, so it's what Sonia, my daughter, has taught me is what I truly want. I want for myself. And it's a very selfish and arrogant mindset to have, but that's what's going to get me off that stool. That's what's going to get me into the gym. That's what's going to get me. That's what motivated me as a teenager. And that's going to motivate me at 34 years of age, which is, this is what I want. I want it. And that I'm going to get off the couch. I'm going to run those sprints. I'm going to spar. I'm going to eat the diet. I'm going to cut the weight, all that stuff. Why? Because I want it. Right. I don't care about everyone else.
Yeah. So much was made about your joke. You cracked a nice little joke at the wife's expense, not maybe necessarily at her expense, but you cracked a joke in the cage. Very, very, very coy. I see your dad joke game is strong already. You know, we talk about a lot about your daughter already, but man, were you in there for the delivery? Like, did you get to see the magic happen?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Wow.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Fucking A.
Yeah. It's wild, right?
It's all you can say. And I'm just a fly on the wall. Just watching like all of it going down, going, I'm just meaningless.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. And then, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but like for me, like when my wife was pregnant, man, I mean, I thought she was the most beautiful thing. I mean, I thought she was the most beautiful thing I ever saw anyway. And then she got pregnant and I was like, dude, you've somehow elevated that. And then after giving birth to my child, I was like, what do you want me to do? You know what I mean? Like you never have to walk on a puddle again. What do you want me to do? You know what I mean? Like, do you feel the same way? Did it like elevate everything for you?
Yeah. I mean, and it didn't stop. Not only did she give birth to my child, she kept that child alive and flourished, started back at work full time. And now she's cooking, she's cleaning, taking care of my daughter and bringing home a paycheck.
Bro.
I'm over here going, man, I can't lose this fight or I'll get a divorce.
Right.
Like, what am I bringing to the table at this point?
Yeah. Yeah. Do you sit back and you go, like, what did I do to deserve this? Have you had that conversation with yourself? What have I done? Like, how do I deserve such a thing? Have you wrestled with that yet?
I'm just lucky. I'm just lucky. I won a lottery at some point and I'm acknowledging it and just trying to be grateful.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So December 16th, Vegas, it's going down. You may or may not get into a fight then, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I know you've said a million people's names. I know you have, you know, but I, you know me, I love playing matchmaker for you. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think Chandler wants it because he could have had it by now.
Yeah, no, he's not going to have it. Well, also, I don't bring the red panty night.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if he's going to just like sail off in the sunset with a fight with McGregor, like more power to him. Like I hung out with him on International Fight Week and I straight up told him like, I would love to fight you, mm-hmm. but you deserve that Conor fight. Like, I mean, he right. deserved it. And if he wants to be patient and wait for that fight, like, power to him.
Right.
But I mean, I told him straight to his face, like, but I would though.
Right. Well, did he like tense up or anything like that? Or was he just like, was he chill still? Or what's that dude's energy? He seems sporadic, man. Like shifty almost. I don't know. He's real intense. Eyeballs are like, he doesn't blink. He's like a horse.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just unapologetically myself.
Right.
So I don't think I even wondered how he responded. Yeah. I was just like, yeah, I want to fight you, but I can understand that you don't.
You got that freaking golden retriever energy, man. I wish I had it. I don't Dude, have that, man.
Strong golden retriever energy just in your face all the time.
Bro, how's your dog, by the way? Is the dog good? Dog adjusting to the baby well?
He's killing it. I mean, it was an adjustment when I brought her home.
Yeah.
Like he was like super interested in trying to figure it out, but now he just completely ignores her. Okay. Like he's like, all right, just another ornament in this house.
Yeah. So to go back to that, I think Joel Alvarez. I feel like that's or Joel, you know, because I got to say it all fancy. I don't. Diego doesn't want it. Right, because he backed out the first time. So Diego, twice. Yeah, that's right, twice. So Diego backed out twice. I understand Moicano can be game, but dude, he's really kind of let the momentum of Money Moicano really kind of sizzle out. And I know you don't care, but you know, it's like the thing I sent you, like the Shia LaBeouf thing. You want to see you want to see your homies do well. I want to see you do well. You know, so I mean, here's what I propose. Let me ghostwrite some shit talk for you. And then you let it fly. And then we just see where it lands.
Yeah, we tried at the beginning of the year to start throwing names out there. And like the amount of crickets that I received was just disheartening, yeah. Right? I no longer want to talk about people anymore. So it's like,
I know.
Like, really, the only person that wrote back was RDA.
That's true. That's right. That's right. People don't realize how close the RDA fight was.
RDA and I wanted to do it, and the UFC went, that didn't make any sense.
Yep.
And I was like, all right, well, so I don't want to waste my breath. Like, who? Anybody.
Yeah.
It's just, whoever says yes. Would I fight Renato? Absolutely. Dan Hooker? Definitely. Like, Diego Fajera? I'll do it a third time. Like, sure. Like just whoever. I mean, I'll even fight a rising star because – I talk a big game about I'll say yes to anyone, but the facts are that every time that I've been ranked, I fought somebody underneath me and, sure. You know, we lost the ranking and all that stuff, but like, I'm not above fighting anybody.
Right.
So a rising star, sure. Let's do that too.
Yeah. I guess it, do you ever like, again, this is just me projecting. Do you ever do the self-assessment thing? Like, man, I come out here, I knock people unconscious. I send them to the shadows. I tell everybody that I'm constantly, I want to do this for you. I want to be an entertainer. I want this. I want, you know, I'm out here sacrificing life and limb for you, gladiatorial style. Right. And I guess in your mind, you think that brings the ovation of the masses, but like, is it the culture that we're in that because you don't do it while talking shit, that it doesn't maybe latch on the way it does some people that claim that, but do so while talking shit? Do you assess how your talk is received?
It's being received.
It is?
And that's why we're getting no's.
Fair enough.
I'm a risk.
Yeah. Yeah, you're a liability.
I'm underneath you with very high potential of knocking you out.
Yeah.
Like, I understand at a business setting, that's a no.
Right. This is a high risk, low reward type situation. Yeah, I get it.
Right. And the thing is, it's like And yeah, punching power, cool. But like, I have a chin. I took Islam Makhachev to the third round. That's more than Charles Oliveira can say. Like, you, when you sign the dotted line against Drew Dober, you know what you're getting into. Right. You're a man that's hard to put away, that has a potential of one, like, with a left hand for 15 minutes.
Right.
Like, I'm just a risk. And so I can be all Colby Covington as I want.
Right.
I'm just a risk to people. So for me, what's in my control is I'll just fight anybody.
Yeah.
So props to Ricky Glenn. He said yes. And so don't take that away from him. He is a gangster. He said yes to a risk, and he went out there and fought valiantly. So that's more than a lot of people can say.
All right, let's talk about Ricky for a second and do so. I mean, you've sung his praises pre-fight and post-fight, right? And obviously we knew with Askren coming in, bringing in Coke and Askren, it seemed like the ground game was going to at one point be a focus. However, you've watched the fight back since then?
Yeah.
Bro, his body language from the moment the word go happened was very, I don't know if this is going to be my night tonight. Did you get that feeling standing across from him?
Not out the gate. As soon as I put my hands on him,
then
I felt that desperation.
Yeah.
He came out with a plan. Like, I got to give it to him. He was actually more composed fight week and pre-fight than some of my other opponents. Yeah. So I think Ricky came out with a strong plan. And confidence too.
Well, I mean, so he's an older guy. So, I mean, obviously you get the maturity that comes from, you're not going to get super hyped up and riled up, you know, like a Terrence McKinney or something like that. I wasn't worried about like, or you don't have to worry about maybe say, or anticipate an adrenaline dump from a guy like Ricky Glenn. He is going to stay relatively composed, but I guess, like you said, once you started touching him a little bit, it really seemed like the body language was like, nah, I don't know about this. Like it was, it wasn't foregone conclusion, right? Obviously, it's high stakes punch face. Anything can happen. But, dude, once you started rolling, I was like, we're going to be hard-pressed to see this go a negative way here.
Which, I mean, so I felt that way immediately after the fight.
Yeah.
After watching the film and then seeing what I saw, like, we did hit him, but he didn't crumble. Like, he flopped, but he didn't crumble. I mean, he was putting his fingers inside my glove. He was hooking up a De La Hiva guard. Like he was, and the fact that I had to hit him so many times was just showing that he was tough. He's resilient. Sure. He's a gamer. Like, and I knew that going in. Like, I knew how resilient and he can get punched in the mouth and continue fighting, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, with his fight with Grant Dawson, he was losing, and he found a way to put Grant Dawson to sleep and fight that fight into a draw.
Yeah.
So I knew how resilient he was. And so from my perspective, like I had hit him, I had to hit him so many times to make sure that the ref knew that he's done.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about the ref for a second too, because do you know, I don't like Chris Tognoni. Do you know this?
I didn't know that.
Oh, I don't like Chris Tognoni at all. I don't like of all the referees, I like Chris Tognoni the least. He's my least favorite referee for a number of reasons, which I don't want to like by default incriminate you in any of this stuff, but he seems like very laissez-faire about things. And then like whenever he talks to fighters, he's like got like this creepy uncle thing where he's like, hey, you know, Drew, come over and let me talk to you for a second. Let me just let you know. Okay. I saw the glove grab, but you know, there's nothing we can really do about that. It's the heat of the moment. Okay. Big guy, you got this. Okay. We're just going to keep it clean from here on out. Like he takes this real, like just chill approach. Like, dude, that's like, he's grabbing the fence, say something, or he's grabbing the glove, say something. But you're like, you're looking at him with your arm out like Spider-Man while Ricky's got his fingers in the glove and Tognoni is just like, meh, figure it out. Like, bro, fuck no, you figure it out, dude. That's what you're here for.
But it's fun too, because if Ricky and I were fighting in a backyard somewhere, there would be no refs to help us. So I was just then just reminded, it's like, oh yeah, I'm the one fighting. So we gotta figure it out.
What I noticed too, and I, again, you watched it back, so maybe you saw it or you didn't see it, But at the end, whenever he breaks it up and you're kind of like trying to get off Ricky, he still had a hold of you a little bit. So there was a brief moment where you were like, give me my fucking hand. Like you like you pulled it. Like, do you remember?
The fight's over. Get off my glove. Like, yeah, no, that happened for sure. You're not wrong.
I was like, bro, wait a second here. Cause and then you went and did your sit down thing, which is all good. But man, I did get a nice chuckle out of that. So if you didn't think anybody noticed, bro, I noticed. I noticed. So did you do all your own nutrition for this fight? You look super lean, by the way. Like, you looked really lean going in, and you look lean now even. Like,
yeah. So
what's going on with that? Like,
I started working my own nutrition with the Bobby Green fight.
Okay. Yeah, I remember that.
And so we have three camps on our own, and man, it's been beautiful. Right. So I had the education course through the numerous nutritionists that I've worked with in the past.
Right.
And they were getting me like all this. So I know how to eat. Now what we've been doing is, and I told you before, is I'm listening to my body.
Right.
So like, I know my schedule. I know what we need. Sparring day, jiu-jitsu day. Like, I know how much energy I need. And at the end of the day, like, my body is able to tell me, like, if I'm not sleeping right, if I'm not waking up hungry, if I, like, you know, all these little small cues, like, if I'm not listening to them, you can ignore it. But I'm listening. Like, I'll wake up, I'll have a cup of coffee. How hungry am I really? And if I'm hungry, then we eat. And if I'm not, then we'll see, you know, like, when do I get hungry? And then I know what to eat, like, chicken salads and stuff like that. I mean, I'm a big steak person, so I like steak salads, yeah, all the time. Barbecuing, I was doing some briskets and stuff like that. But I know what to eat. I know how much is enough. Now you just got to listen to what the body needs. And once we found that, like, that equilibrium, dude, like, weight started shedding off. I started having more energy, both mentally and physically.
Right.
And so, like, it's the lightest I've ever been with the most energy that I've ever had. And, man, it's just dumbfounding. And we've had three smooth cuts in a row, right, which is a record in my career. So at 34 years of age, man, we're only getting better.
Well, I saw your weigh-ins. And like I said, you look leaner than I've seen you. And then you look lean now. Like, you've even got your facial structure has like changed a little bit too. Like, you're even leaning out in the cheeks. So either you're doing the Jawsercise thing or something's going on here. Like, so is it diet related, or what are we doing? Are we leaning into our assets? What do we got going on?
I think it's just diet related. Okay. Yeah, in my 20s, man, like, I had an eating disorder and I was living the Patty Pimblett life.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, so like, I don't know if you've seen the pictures of me when I first entered the UFC. Like, I look gross,
bro.
Everyone's like, "Man, what do you?" Yeah, everyone's like, "What testosterone are you taking to like change your physique?" I'm like, "No, I just stopped eating like an idiot."
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's how we. What'd you say? Your nickname was Almost Donut, right? Donut.
Yeah.
Dude, so you said you're 34. You got a birthday coming up, right?
No, yeah. One foot in the grave. I'm gonna be 35.
Wow, that's everything changes age. You know that, right? Shit gets weird at 35. You gotta start getting your balls checked and all kinds of. It sucks, man.
Fingers in your butt. You gotta figure all that stuff out.
I mean, depends on what kind of lifestyle you're living now, bro. I mean, it might not be here for you. I mean, you know.
Touché.
I mean, it just depends, you know, there's no life shaming here. I mean, it just depends on how you're living your life, man. But, look, man, I'm not going to keep you. I know you got a newborn, you got a wife. When baby lays down, that's your time to, go be a husband and recharge and relax. So like always, I'm just going to publicly say, you know, and I'll tell you on the side too, I appreciate you, man. And, you know, I've met a lot of people in this game and you're probably, very short list, but you're probably one of the only people I actually consider a friend as well. And I'm telling you, man, I was overjoyed to see you win on Saturday night, like I always am, but I know how much more this one meant to you. And, I can appreciate that, you know. I can appreciate what you've done and what you continue to do and your personal growth and all these things going on. So, man, I just, you know, I really appreciate you for this. I appreciate you for your friendship outside of here. So, you know, blessings to you and your family, man. Seriously, I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. And I like surrounding myself with real, honest people. So that's why I love your podcast. And so, yeah, man. I ain't about that, the life of glitz and glam. I like the real and the mundane. So, man, this friendship, this podcast, like, this is what I enjoy.
No, listen, I appreciate it. I'm going to shoot you, since you're talking about barbecue, you know me, clearly, I'm a big eater. I'm going to shoot you the YouTube link for my barbecue channel that I watch all the time. So that way you can get some recipes off there. Because
I just bought a rack of beef ribs.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to figure out how to do that.
I'm just checking. I'm going to send you something here in a little bit. So you'll perfect. Have, yeah. But anyway, man, I appreciate you, dude. And, I'll talk to you here soon. Okay.
Thank you so much, man.
Right. Later, buddy. Man, it's my dude. It's good people. You know, it's somebody special if I'm turning the live stream back on. I'm not doing that for anybody, man. I'm so over the video part of this thing. But look, I want to recap this last weekend real quick, just to give you guys something to go off of, let you know where we're at. If you don't already follow me on betmma.tips, go over there. It's completely free. You already know my price point is free. It's my favorite flavor. It's my favorite price point. Any and all things are free. Go to betmma.tips. And if you go to the leaderboard and you scroll down to what am I right now? Number 113 out of 5,829. That's where we're at 113. We're coming for the top spot. We're not going to get there this year because it's a cumulative thing over time. There's people that have been there for years. However, we're going to get there. That said, if you follow along there, since the Cyril Gaughan Sergey Spivak card, right? That was the card in which we hit even money for the year, because obviously we have dropped, you know, there was a precipitous decline betting wise. However, the rejuvenation of body and mind and soul, getting off the social medias, taking a step back from the guest spots, doing all this thing and just kind of focusing on myself. Like you heard Drew say, being a little selfish and doing, what am I doing this for? Doing it for me, trying to be the best I can be. Go back to what made me the number one guy, right? We're up 95.5 units since the Cyril Gaughan Sergey Spivak card. Okay. That's almost 100 units. So if you're a unit equaling 1% of your bankroll, you've almost doubled your bankroll in the last six cards. Okay. That's like when you're hot, right? We're warm right now. We're not hot yet. We're warm. Okay. I say all that because I have to lead into something here. All right. I am likely only going to play maybe three things on this upcoming card. Maybe three. And here are my three. TJ Brown, money line over Darren Elkins. I believe Darren Elkins is just too old, too washed. He's not the damage anymore. He's just taking damage. Okay. TJ Brown has gas tank issues, but I think he's going to be a little too big. He's going to hit a little too hard. And Darren Elkins, a little too old. Okay. So TJ Brown, money line right now, minus 195, minus 200. Small unit play, just looking to just get some money in the bank. Okay. Underdog play for you. Cameron Simon over Christian Rodriguez. I know Christian Rodriguez gets all the hype because of his previous win. However, Cameron Simon, if he doesn't get caught with a guillotine with that weird long neck and low shoulders that he's got, you know, we're big physiognomy folks here. If he doesn't get caught with the guillotine, I think he can get him out of there. If you're on Christian Rodriguez, playing by submission. Otherwise, play Cam Simon and Moneyline plus 135 is available to you. Okay. And then last but not least, looking at small props, possibly on Edgar Chavez over Daniel Da Silva. They're going to run that one back. It was lopsided to begin with. The line is steamed all get out, but maybe look at the props once those release. Let me see if they're actually out right now. Usually they come out on Tuesdays. Let me look real quick. I think that they are. Okay, let's look at what his Chavez inside the distance minus 160. I don't love that. Chavez by TKO plus 185. That's what we were on before, but he almost locked up the submission, if I'm not mistaken. Was it the submission that he was locking up? This is where the tape folks are going to get me. They're going to fucking watch tape and then you'd be able to figure this out. I'm not encyclopedia here. Okay. Those are two plus money options on Chavez. He's not going to win a decision. He's not going to take his kid decision. And then the other actual play is Jonathan Martinez over Adrian Yanez. And I know Adrian Yanez is everybody's golden boy. They love him because the boxing's so smooth, this, that, and the other. But like we saw in the Randy Costa fight and what Rob Font exposed full circle is he's a great hammer and a bad nail. Great hammer, bad nail. Does not like to be hit, does not want to be in a fight like a dog fight. And Jonathan Martinez can take him there. My concern with Martinez carries the chin pretty high, but good leg kicks, good submission skills, better all-around mixed martial artist, I believe. So if he can keep from getting clipped on an exit from a combo, I think he throws it together and he gets Adrian Yanez out of there. At least gets a W. I don't want to get super crazy, say he's going to knock Adrian Yanez out. But I wouldn't be surprised to see a finish there. So three things that I'm certainly going to put very small money on here, because you have to preface this. Right? I lead into it saying we've won 95 units, and you're like, oh, gosh, whatever plays he's going to give me, I'm just going to fucking unload. And then one of them's going to miss. And you'll be like, oh, you're an idiot. So I'm Martinez money line. Simon money line. Excuse me, man. I got the old yuck mouth here. And TJ Brown money line. So the TJ line is actually coming down. It's not even minus 200 anymore. There's minus 185s out there, minus 175. So please keep steaming Darren Elkins. Keep steaming him. I would love a better price. I would love a better price. Let's recap real quick what we did last event, and then I'm going to cut you guys loose. This is the longest show we've done in months, almost an hour. Cash on Joaquin Buckley. That was a 6-unit hit. Bill Algeo was a 7-unit hit. Could have been more if I doubled down on him, but we don't want to overexpose. So Bill Algeo hit. JJ Aldrich beat the piss out of Montana De La Rosa. We should have unloaded on that. Arichi Lang, Johnny Munoz, under 2.5. Man, I just felt like the whole time we were going to be on the right side of that, and we weren't. And then Abdul Razak Alassane and Joe Pyfer, under 1.5. We barely cashed that, but we cashed it all together. 4-1 on the day, 18.62 units on the night. That's a good day at the office. That's a good day at the office, boys and girls. So appreciate everybody that tuned in. Nobody knew we were really going to do a live stream. I mentioned it on the previous episode. That's, we're doing the audio only thing. I said, maybe if Drew wants to do the live thing, maybe if it doesn't. And he said, turn it on. If anybody shows up, they're just watching us hang out anyway. So just turn it on and we'll see what happens. So I made it and we turned it on and see what happened. So those of you that did swing through, I love you. And if you missed it, maybe the next time, no big deal. Podcasts available everywhere. Audio podcasts are available. Spotify, Amazon. Tell your Alexa you want to listen to me. Siri, any of that stuff. You just tell them and Punchless MMA comes up. So until then, be good to each other. God bless you. Have a great week. And I will talk to all of you next week. If I don't talk to you before then, if you want to hit me up, you can always do so. chat@punchlistmma.com. Shoot me an email. We can chat on there if you want, and we can do it like that if that's something you're into. If not, no big deal. Talk to you guys later. God bless. We'll see you.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.